today is what the Lord led me to talk about in the beginning. And the Lord, I'm ringing a little bit. The Lord gave me an impression I needed to set some things up for you. That's why we've done all these other messages. But they've all been leading to what I'm going to talk about today and what I'm going to talk about next Sunday. So don't miss it next Sunday. It's going to be good. Today I'm going to talk about manipulation and offerings. And I want to share with you some things that Scriptures talk about. And it might shake you a little bit. You might realize some things in the past. Because a lot of people experience church hurt. Come on now. Am I in the right crowd? A lot of people in the body of Christ get their feelings hurt, or they get offended over finances. And how many of you know, I haven't done anything here but just give you the truth about what Proverbs says about money, what it means to give to the poor. But today I'm going to venture into some territory on purpose because I think things need to be said. I think some things are going to happen in the next year that will shake the body of Christ. And there'll be a void that there'll be a rush to fill that void. And a lot of it will be flaky. A lot of it will be a reach and grab for you. And you're going to need to be on your toes that you don't buy into things and fall prey to a sheep in a wolf in sheep's clothing. So I want to share some things today that are really strong, and I really want you to hear what I'm saying. Are you ready? All right, let's pray. So pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears. And I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for what you have for me. Right now, in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you for your word today. We ask you, Lord, speak to us right where we're at. Thank you, Lord, I can get through every part of the notes today. And as we move into the red flags next Sunday. Lord, we just thank you for that, and we give you praise for it right now, in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted, amen, 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 amen. Give your neighbor a high five, and you can be seated. Hallelujah. Hey, out on the table, we printed more of giving to the poor, giving to those in need, and more wisdom paper. If you do a word study on money, it is amazing how much is in the Word of God about money. Everybody say money. Money. How many of you like to have enough money? Money. Come on now, am I right in the right church? I mean, you want to be, how many of you want to be wealthy? You want to have enough to do what you want to do. You want to have enough to retire on. You want to have enough to do the things that you feel God's called you to give towards. And that's what money's for. It's not a question of how much you have. It's a question of, does God have your heart? And I've told you through the series, you know, some people can't even let go of 10 cents of a dollar. When it's the tenth that belongs to God, it's the tenth that's His first. Everything else is extra, and it really defines your heart. 10% is just you being obedient. When you go above the tithe is when you're doing things and being a gracious, generous giver. And I want to share some things with you about that because I think it's important. Today I want to talk about, like I told you, manipulation and offerings. And this has been a good series, and I think it's an important one. I've tried to address it from a whole different viewpoint and really just be your pastor and love on you and just teach you the importance of these facts, because a lot of times people get up and they just teach on tithing and people just close off to it. They don't want to hear about, telling us to give. I'm not doing that today. And I haven't been doing this through the whole series. I've really been instructing you what the Word says about certain things. And today, I want to show you what Scripture says about manipulation and offerings. And I want you to listen, because this will really help you, especially in this year. You know, how many of you know Jesus is coming back? Amen. And there's a lot of things that are coming. And we need to be on our toes, and we need to know and obey and be doers of the Word. I don't know about you, but as a pastor, I think it's important that I minister things that empower you to be great. I think it's important that I teach you things that empowers you to be more of a doer of the word, to be more obedient to the word. Can you say amen? I mean, I know a lot of pastors, they want to drift in and not shake hands with people. I've met those guys. I'm not like that. Y'all know that. You can come and talk to me, come to our house, knock on the door. That's just us. I think pastors should be close to their flock. Amen. Good shepherd's there for his people. I don't think you should be so big you can't go to the hospital and visit somebody. Amen. Hello? Amen. It's important to me. It should be important to you as a believer. You want somebody that you can trust and talk to. But I don't like to be around ministers who exploit people. I don't. I steer clear from it. Even at conferences and things, I run into some of them. And some of them I've known through the years. And I won't let them come stand in this pulpit. Because I will not let you be exploited. Everybody say, thank you, Pastor. All right. Spiritual leaders who are free from covetousness will always seek the welfare and benefit to those whom they minister to. Good, solid spiritual leaders, good pastors, good evangelists, so forth down the line, they will share things not from a perspective of covetousness, but from a perspective of building the welfare of the people to benefit those whom they minister to. And sometimes there are certain times, you know, as ministers, I know when I've gone and preached other places, they receive an offering for me and they bless me. But there's been times when I was in Estonia, I think I said this last Sunday, they took up an offering, but I didn't want to receive it because I didn't think it was appropriate. And there's scriptural reference for that. I traveled all that way to do a wedding. Preaching was just extra icing on the cake for me. And I had a great time. There was a lot of young people in that church and got pictures with all of them. I didn't show you all of those, but we had a blast. And we cut up and had fun. But there's been times in my life where I didn't want to take money from somebody. Even though it was scriptural to receive it, I just didn't feel good about it. Okay? I've met ministers like that. I've asked them back to the church quite often. They're that way. They have a good heart. But let me give you some examples in scriptures where certain leaders refused money based on moral or ethical grounds. And I just want you to listen to this and as I share this. Abraham, did you know he said no to the king of Sodom? In fact, if you want to write it down, it's Genesis 14 and verse 23. He told the king of Sodom, he said, I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abram rich. He refused money. He refused it. There's another prophet, he was unnamed, in 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 6 through 10. And this unnamed prophet, he refused money from King Jeroboam. And he did it because he didn't want it to appear that the king was paying for the healing that he had received as the prophet prayed for him. He refused to take money for that. How about Elisha? Did you know in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 27, Elisha refused silver, he refused gold, he refused clothing from Naaman, lest it appear that the healing was paid for. He refused it. Wouldn't take it. When Gehazi, Elisha's servant, went behind Elisha's back to obtain the assets, he was exposed and leprosy came on him. Did you know that? I mean, there's principles in the Word of God that business should follow after. Let me throw this at you, and you hear me say it, but maybe you'll understand it more easily today. Ministry is a people business. The day the ministry becomes a business, it's no longer about the people, but it's about the person behind it. And it's wrong. Ministry is about people. It's about loving people. It's about taking care of people. It's about sharing your heart with people, teaching them and helping them grow so that they can be better and more effective in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? That's the absolute truth. What about in the Gospels? Well, Peter refused to accept money from Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer tried to slip him some money as payment for a spiritual gift. And that's in Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. But Peter refused it. He said, no. What about Paul, the Apostle Paul? You know, sometimes Paul refused compensation that was technically he had a right to receive it. But he told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 through 18, and I want you to hear this. It says, when I was with you and didn't have enough to live on, I did not become a financial burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia brought me all that I needed. I have never been a burden to you, and I never will be. No one in all of Greece will ever stop me from boasting about this. I will continue doing what I have always done. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast of their work is just like ours. In other words, he was protecting himself. He wanted to be separated from those that were, if you would, snake oil salesmen. There's a lot of that went on after COVID. YouTube went nuts. And the gullible were taken in. And God don't want you to be taken in. You need to obey the Word. Everybody say, I obey the Word. I mean, it's the Word that what we're going to stand on and believe on, trust in. Are you a doer of the Word? Come on now. Well, we read all of this about Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 9 through 10, verse 12, and then 1 Corinthians 9, verses 11 through 18. Why would certain men of God in unique situations refuse money? Why would spiritual leaders today in certain situations refuse money? Well, let me tell you, and I'm going to skip all of our scriptures for the sake of time because those are in your handout. But why would certain ones skip receiving anything? Well, sometimes it's a matter of principle. Sometimes it would give the wrong impression. When we first started the church, I don't think I've ever shared this, but I got a phone call, and this brother, he just flat told me he was a drug salesman. And I don't mean pharmaceuticals going to the doctor's office, hey, would you buy my product? This dude was selling junk on the streets. He had $30,000 in a brown paper bag he wanted to drop off at our front door. And I said, no. And he goes, what am I need to do? I don't want to hold this. This is dirty money. Dirty money, man. Dirty money. He kept saying that. And I said, you need to go turn it in. No, I can't do that. I said, you need to turn it in. I want to bless you. I said, I don't want that blessing. I don't want that. Sometimes it gives a wrong impression, and it's a matter of principle. You hear me? Amen. Amen. I've heard other stories of other ministers, weird things happen like that. I don't know. I'm kind of like Tony Cook on this. I'd have to say no. Do it right or don't do it at all. You hear? Righteous labors. Another reason why some people refuse money, ministers refuse money, sometimes it's not in the best interest of a giver. Stop and breathe on that one for a minute. Selah. Pause and calmly think about that. That's what Selah means. Sometimes this is not in the best interest. We got to be careful about those kinds of things. Everybody say, I'm careful. All right. Well, what about tithing and giving? Well, I think as a pastor, I try to put something in before the offering. Just share something, maybe something I read or something I said, just to remind you that it's important that we are givers. Everybody say, I love to give. Yeah. Amen. God loves what kind of giver?
Cheerful
giver, a happy giver, a prompt to do it giver. Amen. Happy giver. Well, I think it's important that we share about stewardship as a pastor. I think it's important we share about tithes and offerings and talk about generosity. We've tried to do that through this whole series. And I don't think we should be ashamed or apologetic or backwards in teaching about money or any topic related to it, because finances is part of the whole counsel of God. And you should teach on it. You should share things. Many times I have other guests come in and share about tithing, because I want you to hear it from somebody else, not just me, because I don't want it to come across that your pastor harps on stuff. I don't want to be that guy. Share what I'm sharing today and next Sunday, which led to everything else that you've been hearing the last couple services. But you know, we need to share these things or any topic related to it, because again, it's a part of the whole counsel of God. And as a minister, we're responsible to teach that. What about it, Pastor? What should we say on receiving tithes and offerings? Well, I think it's important that we're honest and straightforward about it. You know, if we have a need, we tell you about it. You know, like the carpet. We brought up exactly what it was, and we did it. You were a part of that. I think it's good that we're open and honest about those things. There's some things we don't do because we just don't have the money right now to do that. But if I have a leading on it, I'm going to tell you about it. And we're going to go that way. Okay? Any kind of special project, anything that's a need of the church, we want to make sure that offerings get designated to go to the right project for which they were received as well. But we want to put it before you so you know. Another thing, as a pastor, I think it's real important, especially when we're pastoring a church, and not just being on television and all that. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But I don't think it's right that we pressure people into giving. I don't think it's right to do that. I don't think it's right to make people feel guilty or ashamed or condemned. I watched one pastor, and I know them personally, but what they said came across as a threat. You can't do that to sheep. That ain't right. Can I say it Southern? That ain't right. You can't do that. We shouldn't do those things. Even Paul talks about that. I'm going to get into that. Another thing, I don't think it's right to hype. Everybody say hype. I don't think it's right to hype or manipulate people into an impulsive type giving that they will later regret and probably be resentful about. I've told you a story about the gentleman who got mad because he gave a lot of money. I was an associate pastor at the time. He wouldn't take me out to eat. He literally cussed. He was so mad. I sowed this money and I wanted it to come back this week. I needed it to happen now. How many of you know God's going to move in His time? Your job is to obey Him. Everybody say, I obey. Remember, God likes a cheerful giver, and the Amplified says a prompt to do giver. Okay? And if people feel manipulated to do certain things, and I think there's certain ministers that do that whether they realize it or not, and people have given away things. We had somebody years ago that almost lost their house because their wife gave all of their retirement to a major ministry. They were going to foreclose on their house. That is being manipulative into an impulsive type giving that they regretted, and they really had to beg for mercy and get help, and it wasn't good. Anybody had a friend that gets shipwrecked because of giving? I have. I've met people. They got offended. They got hurt at church. You know, I gave this and such and blah, 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 and nothing happened. And they're focused on the thing instead of focusing on obeying the word and thanking God. You with me? I don't think that's right. You know, a person is supposed to give as he purposes in his heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says that. You give as you purpose in your heart, not in a state of frenzied emotionalism. Another point I think about tithes and offerings, it's important. Don't make unfounded, unrealistic promises to people. I've seen ministers do that. Avoid anything that could be constructed as spiritual manipulating. You see that with television sometimes. There's a manipulation. Act now. If you act now, the anointing will increase on your life. That's wrong. Another thing, avoid gimmicks. I think as a minister, I avoid gimmicks at all cost. I tell you over and over, and Kay Landry Williams is the one who said it to me, and she wouldn't mind me telling you. She hugged me one day. She says, "I love my pastor because he walks with a limp." And I laughed because I knew what she meant, and she hugged me real tight, and she said, "I love it that you're real." And I want to be that way to you at all times. You know, giving's a matter of your heart. And you got to honor God at all times. Everybody say, "I honor." Amen. If you honor Him, He'll do what?
He'll honor you.
He'll honor you. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul was so painfully aware of so-called ministers whose motives and methods were driven by greed. And he made a point to differentiate himself from those who were manipulative and those who were shady and those who had unscrupulous practices and brought reproach to the things of God. He made a point of separating himself. In fact, Paul not only did that, the same Paul who wrote the grace of giving, he also addressed the disgrace of wolves in sheep's clothing who preyed upon the gullible, the impressionable, and naive saints who were just taken in. In fact, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, notice what it says here, "For we are not like so many," and you probably never thought you'd see this in a scripture, but Paul's addressing the manipulators, the ministers who manipulate. He says, "We are not like many, like hucksters, making a trade of peddling God's word, shortchanging and adulterating the divine message, but like men of sincerity and the purest motive, as commissioned and sent by God, we speak His message in Christ, the Messiah, in the very sight and presence of God." Boy, that's a good verse, isn't it? Can I give you Pastor James's short definition of that? We are not like snake oil salesmen. We're going to obey God. We're going to be sincere. We're going to have the purest motives. We're going to do what's right based on the Word. Everybody say, "I love the Word." See, I want to do what the Word says. Amen? That's important. You know, later Paul said to him to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 12:14, he made this statement. I think it says here. Yes. He says, "I do not seek yours, but you." In other words, I'm not on the take from you. I want your heart. To the Thessalonians, Paul said, "God is our witness that we are not pretending to be your friends just to get your money." Wow. Paul said that. You ever been around people, they pretended to be your friend, and you found out later they weren't your friend at all? Sometimes that's happened to me and Melissa. Sometimes we find out, you know, they're all sweet and nice, but they're really not our friend. You with me? We got to realize that we're not being friends just to get money. No, we're here to bless, to lift you up, to encourage you so you can do what you need to do in the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Y'all here? Sobering, isn't it? Well, how about this one? Do you know Peter? Peter, the Apostle Peter, spoke about false teachers who would cause the way of the truth to be blasphemed. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he said that the way of truth would be blasphemed because of false teachers. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, he says these words. He says, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. The New Living says, in their greed, they will make up clever lies to get a hold of your money. And then in the Amplified, same verse of Scripture, in their covetousness, lust, and greed, they will exploit you with false, cunning arguments. To do what? To stick their hand in your pocket. Wow, didn't know the Word of God said that, did you? What about the Message Bible? They will say anything that sounds good to exploit you. Anything that sounds good to exploit you. I think it's important that we need to understand that the shadiest, most disreputable financial appeals are going to contain some degree of truth. And you may even hear token disclaimers that seem to add legitimacy to the message they're giving. And I'm just giving you an example I wrote down, made up here, okay? So just listen. Not saying this about anybody. But for example, they may say something like, now I'm not trying to tell you that you can't buy a miracle. Or it's really not about your money, it's about your faith. But really, in the final analysis, the overall impression is, for someone who's the potential donor, what they're receiving is that there's some type of special miracle or blessing that's only going to come by them giving something to receive that blessing. How many of you know that's not God? That is not God. And many people in the body of Christ have been taken advantage of because of that. Another one, you ready? Y'all learned something? Is this good? All right. You know, impulsive giving is going to be strongly promoted. In fact, when somebody's manipulating somebody to work on your gullibleness to be impulsive, to just act on it without thinking about it, I watched it on TV the other night. I stayed up late, and certain ministers you don't see on normal time. And they're not on TBN or the Golden Eagle Network at all. Or on the Believer's Voice of Victory, they're not. But they make the statement on their commercial, act now, go to your phone right now, give while the anointing is strong. Don't let this miracle moment pass you by. Don't let the devil talk you out of this blessing. I'm like lost in space robot right there. You know, warning, Will Rogers, danger, warning, danger. People have been offended by that kind of stuff when it happens in churches and they leave. We don't need to be them people. Y'all hear? I mean, the other night there was another one that was on TV. I stay up late. I do. Melissa will tell you that. And I read and I study and I get ready for Sunday. During the week, though, sometimes I'm thinking about the email I'm going to send out or trying to find something that I could give to you. But I saw some television preacher come on Turner Broadcasting Network, paid for a slot in the middle of the night. And I thought to myself, you know, I've heard of encouragement and edification and exhortation, but that guy is doing nothing but pure extraction or extortion from people. And he's going to answer to God for it. Amen. A lot of times I wondered why when they do this kind of stuff on television, they always ended with the persuasive praise, go to your phone now. I never once heard them say, go to your local church. Because they don't want you to do that. They want you to give everything you got to them. That's my soapbox, I know. But I'm real leery. I don't watch people that don't say support your local church. Because you know what? Certain people won't be at your funeral. I'll be there to do your funeral. Are you here? Amen. I will be there. I'll hold your hand when you look at your loved one's body for the first time. Because that's what we're supposed to do. But I'm going to tell you something. You really need to pray about what you do sometimes. Because it's just important. Can you say amen? I heard one minister say this. Are you ready? Curl your toes. They made this statement once, and it was at a meeting. You can receive information from anyone, but you can only receive revelation from a minister that you sow into. When I heard that on the inside, I curled up in the fetal position. And I thought, oh my gosh, how can they say that? That's not God. So what? What do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean that's not God? Well, for one thing, it's made up and taken scripture out of context to say such a thing. But the second thing is, I thought to myself this. If that's the case, you know, you can receive information from anyone, but you can only receive a revelation from the minister who you sow into. Well, I thought, if that's the case, then none of us would be able to receive any of Paul's revelation in his writings, because none of you have ever given financially to him. That's a serious problem when the impression is conveyed that every blessing, every breakthrough, every miracle, and every answer to prayer is contingent upon a financial gift given. That's wrong. That is not scriptural. And that is not God. Amen. Because if that was the case, none of us would even, we couldn't give to Paul, so we can't receive from Paul. That's dangerous ground. Of course, it's just funny because at the end, you know, they're playing the same TV show over and over, and at the bottom in small print says, this program has been previously recorded. But yet they're saying, act now. Go to your phone now. Oh, my goodness. I think it's unfortunate when something so beautiful as sharing God's grace, giving, is missed because people have been repeatedly exposed to cheap substitutes. God's not opposed to any of you being wealthy. You've heard that all this series. What he's opposed to is the wealth or the money having you. It's the love of it that's the root of all evil. Money's not evil because without it you couldn't live. We sow and give into the kingdom because money doesn't have a hold of us. We have a hold on God and his word. Can you shout amen? Amen. Amen. I tell you, it's a beautiful thing when we give. When people are pressured or manipulated by gimmicks or hype or other techniques to be coerced into giving, that goes against the plan of God. You frustrate the plan of God. We go against the word. And that's not a good thing to do. Not at all. I mean, how much damage has actually been produced by manipulative tactics from the pulpit? I mean, I know a lot of friends that don't go to church anymore that I went to church with in high school. They don't even go to church anymore. They're so burnt out on ministry. They think everybody's a huckster trying to steal their money. And they're just offended and hurt. Their attitude is jaded towards being a Christian. They're hardened to hearing the gospel. And they assume that preachers are simply in it for the money. I had somebody tell me that at a golf course once. Oh, Pastor, you're just in it for the money. I put my club back in the holder. I didn't want to play the hole with him. I let him play through. Because that's not true. There's sometimes we don't even take a check. Because we want to put it back and make sure we're doing what needs to be done, take care of this place. Come on. When it's your name, you know, when you're signing stuff and all that, you want to be honorable before God. Come on, you hear? Amen. Amen. I think a lot of people feel exploited in church. They get their feelings hurt. They feel defrauded. They're not going to be quick to trust again. A lot of times they saw giving as and I talked to you about this in the beginning of Proverbs, says there's no get-rich-quick schemes. But they looked at it as getting rich quick. They thought, if I do this, God's going to do this. But they didn't understand how the word works, how sowing and reaping works. They didn't understand the principles of plant. How many of you know if you plant a tomato plant, it's not going to be a big, big, big tomato the next day? If you plant watermelon seeds, you're not going to have a big, 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 good old watermelon after tomorrow morning. It's not going to be there. If you're going to plant a seed, you got to work the ground. You got to water it. You got to take care of it. All those things are important. But sometimes people get a hold of something because they got a gimmick that was given to them, or they were pushed, and instead of taking time and growing in the things of God, growing in the kingdom of God, they look at it as a quick get-rich-quick scheme, and they get offended. Some go into a state of guilt and condemnation because they believe their faith wasn't enough. Boy, that's wrong. Nobody should feel that way. Yes, we give in faith. We give in faith, trust in God, but you should never feel guilty about that. We're honoring Him. You had a leading to sow that seed. You had a leading to do certain things extra above and beyond your tithe and offering. So you are honoring God. Come on now, can you say amen? Amen. You never, never feel like your faith was a failure, because that's not true. Some things just don't flow overnight, though, do they? No. We got to be real about that and understand how the kingdom operates. I think a lot of folks, too, have become hardened. They give up on church and God entirely. All of them had grievous outcomes because they were felt so exploited. And instead of realizing the beauty of godly, graceful giving, they thought it was wrong, and they felt like they were robbed. And that's not the way it should be. Paul taught us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 6 through 7. Well, what about it, Pastor? What about blessings without money? Well, I think we would be greatly blessed to remember what the book of Isaiah says in chapter 55, verses 1 through 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without a price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat it, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Amen. We got to remember there's blessings without money too. God is the blessing. Honoring Him, serving Him, being obedient to Him. Whew, that's the blessing. Amen. You know, as long as you hold on to understanding that God's greatest blessings are free gifts, then we can give from the right heart and with the right motive, and we can avoid ever being pressured or manipulated or taking advantage of a con man. Or a con woman. Because there's been a lot of that in the body of Christ throughout the ages. And you, as a believer, need to know the Word of God well enough so you're not taken in by that. Amen? Amen. You need to. Amen. Well, what about God's plan in all this, Pastor? What about God's plan? Well, I'm glad you asked. I think it's important as believers that we stay strongly committed to the Word. Say, I love the Word. Do you? I love the Word. Amen. Now, the word of God is life to me. It's life to you. And when you obey the Word, I'm telling you, things happen. Amen. We should be strongly committed to the Word of God and remain positively focused. You know, I am unashamedly in favor of tithing and giving and extra special gifts at times for other ministers and other TV evangelists and things that have had things through the years. I think it's important. I strongly believe in biblical prosperity 100%. I do. Hey, we're living biblical prosperity. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. God's been good to us. When we had nothing, God came through. I mean, He's been good. And I tell you what, it gets better and better every day. I am unashamed to tell you how important it is to tithe. It is important. It is important to give. It is important to realize the principles of prosperity from the Word of God. If every believer in the body of Christ would simply tithe to their local church, what is the tithe again? First 10%. If we would just do that and give offerings extra as the Lord leads, the work of God would be wonderfully supplied and progress in a tremendous way. Amen. But the Bible teaches that there are blessings associated with giving. And I want you to remember some of these verses as I close here. But we know the Bible teaches that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His what? His people, His servant. He takes pleasure in you being blessed. Psalm 35:27. Whether it's a church, whether it's a missionary, whether it's other ministers who have need of finances to operate and fulfill the Great Commission, the Bible is clear that we honor those. I preach to you after we have a guest, Galatians 6:6. You know, it talks about blessing those who bring you the Word. One translation says we contribute to their income. Those things are good, right, and just. Amen. But I tell you what, we got to remember, the body of Christ needs to remember to be deeply grateful for all the credible pastors, all the credible missionaries, all the credible ministers, including all those that are on television that are good people. We need to remember that. People who share the gospel, who share the Word of God in a straightforward manner with simplicity and sincerity. Thank God for those who keep the waters pure. Amen. Amen. But as the body of Christ, we need to be strong. And we need to see through the clutter and the distractions of human imperfections as we walk out God's original purpose for our own lives. Amen. In fact, the fact that some have operated in questionable and inappropriate methods should never keep us from believing the Word and doing the right thing. Can you say amen? You need to always believe the Word and do the right thing. Lastly, and I want us to pray here, Paul made the statement, and we've read this the last couple of weeks, and we're going to read it again next Sunday, because next Sunday I'm going to talk about red flags and offerings. And I'm going to list some things that maybe you have participated in, and I'm going to tell you some of them that I fell for, okay? And we're going to have some fun next Sunday talking about things. You're going to laugh a lot because it's so funny, some of the stuff that's out there, and it's easy to find. But let's always remember as a believer what Paul taught us as the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. God is still able to make all grace abound, right? Amen. Let's read this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Verse 7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives what?
Cheerfully.
Cheerfully. And God will generously provide all that you need, and you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of you. Psalm 35:27. And the last scripture I got behind there. God is still able. How many of you know God's still able?
Amen.
What's He able to do for you? He makes all grace. Every favor, every blessing come to you in abundance so that you always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for what? Every good work and what? Charitable donation. That's the amplified of that verse. Isn't that powerful? So I'm challenging you today. Don't get manipulated by other ministers or anything. Be faithful to obey God. And always remember this. Freely yield yourself to the grace of giving. We should not only receive from His generosity, but we should also live a life that's generous in our giving. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And lastly, you know, we've been saying this through this whole series, and I'll say it again next Sunday. Ultimately, you know, all of this that we're talking about is not about your bank account. It's about what you have in your heart. And I don't know about you. Whew, I want my heart to be right. Can you say amen? How about you? I want to have a right heart about it. I want to give not out of compulsion, but out of, I got an unction to function. You with me? I feel the Holy Ghost bubbling up in me. I want to obey God, be a doer of the word. I want to honor Him because He's faithful to me. You want to do that too because He is a good God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Did you learn something today? I'm just talking, just teaching. That's why I'm down here. I'm going to be real with you, all right? Next Sunday, we're going to have a lot of fun with this. And some of it you're going to laugh about. I look back from back in the 50s all the way through current day. And I got a couple of things you're going to want to hear. Because Lester Sumrall made a statement a long time ago. He said it at Norville's when I was in school. He said, you know what goes around comes around. I've seen it once, I'll see it again. And I'm telling you, when I studied some of this and started looking up stuff, I mean, what goes around comes around. I've seen it once, I'll see it again. So will you. The devil's he's not changed. Same stripes. He just might permanent in his hair and he might color his hair, but he's still the same devil. He has no teeth. He's all bark, no bite. Okay? Next Sunday is going to be a lot of fun. Don't miss it. Bring somebody with you. All right, stand up on your feet. Amen. This morning, I believe we're all family in here. If you're watching online, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. All you got to do is ask Him into your heart. It's real easy. You just say, Jesus, come into my life. Make me brand new. Save me right now. I thank You. Forgive me of all my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All you got to do is ask Him. It's so easy. And I'm challenging you. Pray that prayer. Just ask Him into your heart. Have Him forgive you. Ask Him to make you brand new. It'll be the best decision you ever made. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody else in here, just close your eyes there. Lord, I just thank You that what we shared today is just good teaching, common sense things. Lord, I thank You that this church is protected and not taken in. Lord, that we honor You and we listen to the Holy Ghost on the inside of us about things and what we give, what we do. And I thank You, Lord, we're sensitive to You. And just as Jesus, just as You spoke the words, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Lord, I thank You that the people of the Lord's church, those who are members here, those who fellowship here, those who call this church their home, Lord, I thank You they hear Your voice and the voice of a stranger they do not follow. Lord, we pray that for this church all the time. I thank You, Lord, this is especially true in the days we're living in right now. And we give You praise and we give You thanks for these things today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.